Amen. Can never go wrong with the name of Jesus. Amen. Tonight, we are going to have the Lord's Supper tonight, and want you to take your Bibles, if you would, and go with me to 1 Corinthians. We'll be in chapter number 10 and 11 tonight for just a few minutes. Just want to remind you of some things, and tonight, her singing about the name of Jesus helps us remember the Lord's Supper is a remembrance. Until the Lord comes, it's an ordinance of the church, like baptism. It's something that we keep, and but the Lord's Supper is something that we'll not need to practice once we see Jesus face to face. And so tonight, as we look forward to that, there were much that was said in the Scripture, not only Jesus instituting it and giving it to his disciples and passing that down through the ages for his church, and by giving it to his disciples, that was his church. We believe that the church was started in Matthew chapter 16, between 16:18 and Matthew 18:17. And again, tonight, as we look into the Scripture tonight, I just want to remind you that this Lord's Supper is not like other suppers. That's what got the church at Corinth in trouble. They had taken this as just a time to sit down and eat. Church dinner on the grounds, and it's not that at all. This is a time that we are to focus on the Lord's and remember him. We remember his body and his blood. In fact, the first letter here to Corinth is we read a lot of times, and last time we were together, we did focus on much of what is said to give us a good idea of what the Lord's Supper is not and how they were perverting it in Corinth. But in that argument, that idea doesn't just start in chapter 11. It actually starts back in chapter 10. I want you to look back to chapter 10, and he's making reference early in the chapter to a lot of Old Testament times that even the Israelites were in the wilderness and they tempted Christ. And he's making them and saying that they are in samples for the New Testament Christian and how they murmured and complained and how they really lived in fornication and wrongdoing, and it uses the term tempting Christ. And so I want you to see a little bit tonight, and we're going to just read a little bit, and then we'll jump back over to chapter 11 and give some things tonight. But I want to pray before we get started, and I hope tonight that you will. You know, this is not a funeral. It pictures the death, burial, the body and the blood that were slain, but we serve a risen Savior. This is a remembrance of what Christ has done in the past, because he also was risen in the past and now seats at the right hand of the Father. And so again, I want to remind you of that this is sometimes folks leave Christ on the cross, and we are not like those that would leave Christ on the cross. He is risen again. And so I just want to remind you that tonight. Let's pray together before we begin reading the Scripture. Dear Lord, we do come to you tonight, Lord. We thank you. Lord, if there are those inside the room tonight that have not already taken equity or taken a hard look at the inside of their heart and life, Lord, I pray that the believers that will consume what tonight is picturing your body and your blood, Lord, that to remember you and what you've done for our salvation, Lord, I pray that you would help them, remind them, Holy Spirit of God, draw to their memory and pull it to the forefront of their mind, Lord, that the things that would be between you and them, the things that would really stop them, the things they need to get right before they receive the Lord's Supper tonight, Lord, I pray that you would use the Scripture, Holy Spirit of God, draw men to a place where they know that they can receive the Lord's cup and his body tonight, Lord, as just as close as they were the day they got saved. We thank you for each and every one of our church members and those that have joined us from outside of town. In Jesus' name, amen. Here in the Scripture tonight, we want to look in chapter number 10, and we will go over to chapter 11, but I want you to see here, it begins, I'm going to read quite a few verses here, but I just want to set some of it. We'll jump down if we could, but look at verse number 2 of the chapter. I guess we could go back to verse number 1 and just begin there. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant. I think it's important for the Christian to realize there are several times in the Scriptures that Paul writes to them, because when we're ignorant of something, it's because we don't know it. We never read it. We were not taught it. Ignorance is not an excuse for disobeying the speed limit. And even tonight, realize this as a believer, that you know you've had every opportunity to be preached to be in the right kind of church and the right kind of doctrine. And if not, you need to really consult with yourself tonight, because again, we don't need to be ignorant of the facts that are about to come from the scripture, because the Lord's Supper, there's a lot of so-called churches or religion that pervert the Lord's Supper. They make it a thing. They make it about salvation, and it is not about salvation. They pervert the doctrine of that this is done in remembrance. This is to help sober the church to a place where it realizes just what it cost to purchase their salvation. It's a opportunity for us to reflect in the Word of God and on the Lord Himself and realize that we ought to have a closer walk with Thee. That if our fellowship has been broken, we need to fix that. Not only with the Lord Jesus, but according to the scripture, with our brother before we take the Lord's Supper. And so tonight I want you to see again, he says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all did eat the same spiritual meat, all did drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Again, not going to take too much time to speak about that, but that rock that gave water when it was smitten, that same rock would have given water if it was spoken to the second time instead of being smitten like it was. It cost Moses the promised land, but as Christians, this in sample, everything that's going to come after that is in this context and helps us to realize that again, once we are saved, Christ was smitten once for our transgression. He will never go to the cross again. And as a Christian, for us to live in such a way where we continue to hit the rock, we would be much like Moses. And the greatest promises and the greatest things in the Christian life that could be ours. Listen, we're never going to miss heaven because we sinned. All of it's under the blood of Jesus Christ. But when we sin willfully, when we know we ought not to, It robs us of joy, peace, and blessings on this side of heaven. And so he goes on and he says here in verse number 5, "But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our ensamples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as there some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were devoured of the destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." Realize that Paul is continuing to write. This is a single letter, not written and chopped up with chapter and verses, but he is writing and building to where he's going to be at in chapter 11, where he gives correction. He is dealing with the church that is a body of Christ, but he's also trying to get them to evaluate their own lives. Each one of us are a priesthood of the believer. We believe that this book, all right, and the blood of Jesus Christ, this book is something to not be ignorant of. I have a personal belief system in this book, but I also have if I could say it this way, I am personally responsible for what I do with the Christian life. No one will stand at the judgment seat of Christ with me and answer for me. Okay, I'm going to answer for me, because God gave me everything I needed on this side of heaven to do it right. And I shouldn't be ignorant of it. I'm thankful God has given the church gifts, pastors, evangelists. The list goes on of all the gifts that God has given us to even help us further. But he gave us his word, which is more than enough. It's a more sure word of prophecy, Peter called it, than even the signs and wonders that we see in the book of Acts. Peter lifted this up, not tongues, not raising the dead, not all the acts that we find in the book of Acts,
But he said, this book is a more sure word of prophecy. This book, listen, there was no raising of the dead that I saw to be saved. It was this book and the preaching of this book that brought me and drew me to Christ. It was not somebody that I saw healed and jump up that drew me to Christ. It was his death, burial, and resurrection. It was knowing that the Father in heaven died on Calvary and paid for my sin. I don't ever want to go to a place. Listen, as much as I want to please my earthly father, I loved him. He was someone who invested in my life. I still love him and want to please him. Even as an adult man, I don't want to draw shame to the name that he passed on to me. But how much more should we want to please the name of Christ? How much more should we want to not tarnish the name Christian, which means Christ-like? Too many times we throw the name around and live how we want to. Skip down with me if you would. And we've read some of these verses recently, so I want you to skip down and look at verse 16 in chapter 10. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one, looks at, we being many are one bread. And we, and he says, and one body, for we all are partakers of one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are they not which eat? Look at this, eat of the sacrifice of partakers of the altar. For what sigh I then that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? Now, Paul's going to make a hard statement. It's something that each one of us ought to take notice of here. He's talking about the communion, and he's directly going to connect it to worshiping idols. And you say, we don't worship idols in our day. You don't think people in our country worship their phones? You don't think people worship televisions? You don't think people worship cars and houses and land and many other things? And he's going to speak to it specifically here. Verse 19, he says, what say I then that the idols is anything, or that which is offered to idol is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should be fellowship, look, we have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partaker with the Lord's table and the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger? Look at it. Are we stronger than he? He makes a strong argument against for the Gentile world, which most of us belong to. And he just says, now we're not worshiping the things the Gentiles worshiped in that day, and neither were the church at Corinth necessarily, but they had taken this ritual, or what we call a remembrance, and made it more of a ritual. But they had taken the order that the Lord had set it in and the way it was supposed to be practiced and made it just dinner on the grounds. They had just made it a thing where now one brother was showing off for another. He's eating chicken while somebody else is eating something that's not boiled peanuts, something like that. All right, I'm just saying that one is trying to show off for the other and say, hey, look what I got, and you don't have hardly any. That is not what the Lord's Supper is about. And here the scripture is saying that when we do things, when we come to before the Lord, and tonight you may not be coming in here that way, but if you would evaluate your life tonight and think about where you are and your spiritual walk, is there something between you and the Lord? Is there something that I would say it this way? He talks about sacrifice here. What are you sacrificing for in your life? You know, there are people, I mean, there was a day and age when I thank God for what goes on in Florida today. We have the Step Up program and other things. But that was a day and age when I know my family and my dad sacrificed to put me in a Christian school. I mean, that means they didn't have other things, that they didn't have a boat because they couldn't afford a boat. They had a kid in Christian school. And when we take through the things of life, I mean, really, I think tonight, along with fornication, I don't think that we have a room full of fornicators here tonight, but there are things that we ought to evaluate our life, and what are we really sacrificing for? What are we really, I mean, what is it that is costing us things in this life, and are we sacrificing it to worldly idols, or are we sacrificing for the Lord? And that can be measured. Tonight, everybody's mind is on material things, but that's not the only thing you can sacrifice. You can sacrifice your time. There are, everything in your life can be sacrificed. Everything about yourself, your time, your money, even in your family, as you take your family to church and make sure, you know, that is not a small thing. We're commanded to be in God's house, and it is not a small thing to make sure that you are in church on a Sunday. Amen. And if I could say it this way, Dr. Lee Robertson said it takes three to thrive. It's not easy to be in church three times a week. It's a struggle. And if I could say it this way, in our day and age with the busyness of the world, it's a sacrifice of your time. But it's a worthy sacrifice. And it's one that keeps you in a close walk with God. Here he's saying, listen, I don't know about you, but I do not want my life to provoke the Lord to jealousy. I don't want him to be jealous over anything that's in my life. I want him to have me. If I were to evaluate and kind of boil all this down, this scripture is really saying again, no man can serve two masters. There, if I'm going to be the servant of Christ, I cannot serve at the table of idols. I can't serve my phone. I can't serve the television. I can't serve a payment. I can't serve all these other things. And whether we like it or not, prosperity is one of the great idols of America. We'll go to bat for it, and we'll even vote for it. We'll get behind our candidate, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm just telling you, sometimes we get way more excited about politics than we do the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't think that that provokes him to jealousy, you've got another thing coming. So there needs to be a balance. There needs to be, again, you say, well, the election comes around every 4 years. I agree with you. I'm thankful for folks. We need, the church is not supposed to be separate from politics. The church is made up of people who are residents in a state and in a country, and we have every right to vote and say our piece just like anybody else. Now, the church has a right for the government to stay completely out of our business. Amen. We existed before them. We have a right from heaven. We could go through the list of things that should keep them out of the doors and out of the doctrine. But today, I don't want to provoke the Lord with anything. I don't want politics to come before him. No matter what it is for you today, turn to chapter 11 if you would. We'll go to verse 20. For time's sake, I want to read some things here, and I want you to realize that their error was this. It says in verse 20, when ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Many people wonder why in the world doesn't the Landmark Baptist Church have the Lord's Supper every week? Because the Lord's Supper is not to be had every week. Every time we come together, that is not what the Lord's Supper is for. It's for remembrance. All right? And he says here in verse 21, for in eating every one of you taketh before another his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. So the two things that we find in verse 21, and if you watch the way we practice it here at Landmark, we take great pains and we try to very slowly and carefully do everything decently and in order. And the Bible says we're not supposed to just hand it out and you eat it when you take it. Everyone is supposed to take the different parts of the body or the blood and take those elements and then hold on to them and wait for their brother. And then the church takes the Lord's Supper together as one body. All right, and so when we take that tonight, we don't go one, because this is how the Lord said, even Paul here, it orders us, hey, this is not, you're not supposed to just take and eat it. That's not making it sacred. That's not doing it in remembrance. As a church body, we take this together in remembrance of the Lord. And more so, you'll notice that each cup, we do our best to try to fill, every cup is the same size. Somebody don't get 16 ounces when somebody gets one. We take great pains to make sure every part of the elements are equal for every believer, because the Bible is right here very specific that one man leaves hungry and the other one's full. And we're supposed to, again, take it the same way, having everything decently in order, not one being over another or favored a different way. We put the chairs on the floor, not because we want someone higher than someone else, but we want everyone to partake together. One, the ground is level at the cross. Amen. And as one body, we receive it. Look at verse, if you would, we'll read on verse 23. For I have received the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night he was in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is, look at that, broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also, he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, the cup, this cup, is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye also do show the Lord's death till he come. The Lord's Supper is a remembrance. And this again reminds us that he died. Too many times our minds are focused on the return of Christ. And that's not a bad thing. The Bible tells us to love his appearing. But you know what keeps me humble? Realizing that I'm a sinner and that Christ had to leave heaven and come to Calvary and pay for my sin debt because I couldn't earn my way. You know, the Christian, if we only are looking up for someone to catch us out and we never look down and realize where we used to be, and where God found us and what he bought us out of. If we don't remember who we are, then we'll forget. We'll just keep looking up and we'll forget that there are other people down in the same ditch that we were. That there are people all around us who are lost and on their way to hell, and that they desperately need to hear that Jesus died on Calvary for their sins, but he didn't stay dead, that he rose again and he's coming again, and they need to get that settled with him. Today he goes on and he says this in verse 26, for as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the death till he come. Again, not only are we looking back at his death, but we're looking for his return. One is not wrong. One is not separated from the other. Both of them are simultaneous. The church should be looking up, but we also should be looking back to what he did. The greatest separation, and even here the New Testament, the cross is the separation of the New Testament and the Old Testament. Hebrews chapter 9 says that you can't have a New Testament until the death of the testator. So the break in our testaments are right there. So everybody from the Old Testament look forward to the cross. And all of us, when we take the Lord's Supper, we look back to the cross because that is where the price was paid for our sin. He goes on and finishes a few statements here in verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Now, he speaks of this unworthily, and he's going to go on just a little bit here. But that word unworthily is something that you ought, that is an idea of guilty of the body and the blood. You realize that when we get saved, Christ paid for our sins. He paid for the sin debt. But again, you know, everybody wants to blame somebody for the death of Jesus Christ. There are people groups, and I could name them tonight, who are at odds even today. Jerusalem has been fought over because of cause of death of Jesus Christ by people groups. And until this day, people still want to fight over it. There's a semblance of peace, but there's still rockets flying because of Jesus' death. And I just want to tell you today that we've got to be mindful that this right here, if we take the Lord's cup unworthily, we'll be guilty of that. He goes on to say in verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup, for that he eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not disconcerting the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. He really explains that a man should examine himself and a woman should examine himself. Every boy, girl, adult, and child that is going to take and receive the elements tonight of the Lord's Supper should evaluate and examine themselves, that they are not taking this unworthily, that there's nothing between them and Christ. There's no sin that they've committed that they have not really confessed to him and asked him to forgive it. There's no hatred between them and their brother. There's no issue that would stop them from taking. You say, preacher, you're trying to scare us. I'm trying to save your life. You're trying to scare us from not taking it? No, all the elements are prepared for everyone in the room tonight. What I would really like is for you to examine yourself tonight. And as you look back at the death of our Savior, you'd say, this is between me and my Lord. This is an idol in my life. This is sin in my life that's unconfessed, and I've not really taken care of this. I have a brother in the church that I have a problem with. Listen, tonight, I'm just going to remind you that if you can't make that right tonight between you and your brother, I would insist that you not partake for your own sake. I don't want you to be sick. I don't want you to, when the Bible uses the term sleep, and that's how you know when it speaks. Now, don't be confused tonight. When it says they drink to themselves damnation, when it continues, it says that some sleep, that is only a term that is referenced to the believer who will rise again. So when we're drinking this, that doesn't mean you lose your salvation because you drank unworthily. That is not what the scripture teaches. It just means that you are drinking judgment upon yourself and eating the body of Jesus Christ, because when you drink it and eat it unworthily, you are bringing judgment upon yourself. God is going to try to, again, it's Father's Day. Let me remind you, he will chasten his children, even if he takes them home to be with them, to get them to a place where they understand or come home to be with him. Tonight, I beg you tonight, we want to take a moment tonight. If you're here and you do not know Christ as your Savior, if you came into the building tonight and you've never accepted him as your Savior, you don't know for sure 100% that you have accepted the finished work of Christ on Calvary, his death, burial, and resurrection for your sin debt, for him as your Savior. If you've never done that, tonight we're going to give you opportunity to do that. Outside of that, Christian, we want you to bow your head. Close your eyes. If God's spoken to your heart, if there's something between you and them, as the musicians come tonight, if you need to be saved, would you slip out and come to the front and let me take a Bible to show you how you can be saved? We're going to let everyone else remain seated. If you need to use the altar, you come and do that. Or if you want to pray and talk to the Lord right where you sit and get whatever it is that's between you and him settled, will you do that tonight between you and God tonight as Brother Bert sings?
All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
As the music continues to play tonight, I pray that you will get whatever's between you and God settled. If you're here tonight and you don't know for sure, if you died today, that you go to heaven, you don't know 100% that you'd be sure that if you passed away, that you would be entering into heaven's gates because of Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary, would you slip your hand up and let me pray for you? Is there one anywhere tonight in the building that say, I'm not sure I'm saved, preacher. Would you pray for me? Is there one anywhere? All right. What we're going to do is just a couple minutes. If the men would come and make their way to the front while the organist plays and continues through, just one more chorus here. We'd ask you this, if there's something between you and the Lord, something between you and your brother, you examine yourself tonight. We do not want anyone tonight to take it unworthily. If you have your Bibles tonight and you want to read along with us, we'll turn to Matthew chapter 26.
verse 26, we see, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it. And he gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body.'" The Lord Jesus did give his body on Calvary, and really was, folks, tonight as you pray and you think about what the Lord did for you, you know, his blood, the blood has been applied at the mercy seat, but his body was broken for our transgressions, the Bible says. And if you can imagine what he endured, the whipping and the crown of thorns that was pressed upon his head, being nailed upon a cross and really rushed through with a spear. There's so many things the Lord endured. Tonight, I implore you, as the bread is passed out and you hold that, be in an attitude of prayer. And this is a time of remembrance. Remember what he did for you. Think about what he endured. Such sinners, such sin that was so many people. I think about our home church has a passion play when we were young, and I remember seeing a man smite him in the cheek and say, "Tell me it is who it was that hit you." Can you imagine being in that place and seeing someone hit the Lord Jesus in the face and then mock him by saying, "Who is it that smote thee?" Folks, he endured that because of you and because of me. I'm going to ask Brother Vic to come and pray over the body.
Lord Jesus, we thank you that we have the opportunity to take part of this church ordinance of the Lord's Supper. And Lord, may we be reminded of what you did for us and the ultimate price that you paid to redeem the lost souls of mankind. And Lord, we ask your blessing now on the element representing your broken and bruised body. And Lord, in commemoration of your death, burial, and resurrection, we just pray that everything that's said and done tonight might honor you. We ask all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Matthew 26 and verse 27, it says, "And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink it henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." At this time, I'm going to ask Brother Tony Roberts to pray over the blood that the cup will receive tonight and that represents his blood.
Our Heavenly Father, tonight, again, as we continue to observe the Lord's Supper, we thank you that it was the blood atonement that covers our sins, and Lord, we can't claim anything on our own, and God, I just pray tonight that you would bless this cup as it represents your blood, and we ask that you would help us to remember it until you come back for us. Lord, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
After they had completed the Lord's Supper, the Bible says in Matthew 26 and then over in verse number 30, it says, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out on the Mount of Olives. And so tonight, we'd ask the church to stand together. Brother Bert, would you come and lead us in a hymn tonight?
Sing the first and last verse, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now
tonight. Let's close out in prayer. Brother Willis, would you come and pray for us tonight, sir?
Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this wonderful night and for this wonderful church. We thank Thee for dying on the cross for us and shedding Your blood. We ask, dear Lord, that You be with us this coming week, meet the needs of those that are on the prayer list, and be with us now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.